whether it's from family or whatever. In the world, you have persecution. It isn't there all the time in its most violent form, but it's there. There's this undercurrent in the cosmos, the devil's world, that is hostile to the spiritual interest of the believer. But we have on our side God who brings us through periods of persecution. You'll also be tested with regard to your living grace. That's a separate doctrine. Living grace is everything God has designed to provide the believer with so that they can maintain their life, their physical life. Food, shelter, clothing, and the rest. There are promises in the Bible with regard to this. But living grace does get tested from time to time. And in this particular test that we are in this world with regard to a major shutdown of much of the economy, there's living grace testing for people. They're laid off. This and that. I don't have to explain that. If the businesses aren't shut, there's a lot of them are slowing down. God is still for you. You call on His name. He knows what you need. Here at Maranatha Church, we have had a history in this small congregation of assisting legitimate believers in our midst who are going through some kind of a living grace test. And we had a living grace fund, and we helped them in-house. But beyond that, God provides living grace for the believer. Jesus taught this very clearly in the Sermon on the Mount. You might need to reread those verses. And whatever you need from your Heavenly Father, because God, He cares for you. You call on His name. Whether it's money to buy stuff, anything. I tell people, don't go out here shopping unless you're praying about things. You don't have to give a big long prayer. Just bless my shopping basket. I need this. So with whatever's coming down, living grace can be tested. I can give examples in the Bible of believers who are under living grace testing. I give you examples of believers who are under living grace testing and who flunked the test momentarily. And the one I just reviewed a little bit ago was Abraham fleeing off to Egypt, because the land that he was in that God told him to go to, and he didn't give him any instructions to ever leave. He said, you have the freedom to travel up and down this land that is a part of the inheritance for you and your descendants under the Abrahamic covenant. But Abraham gave in to pressure, and he went where there wasn't a famine, Egypt. But he took his lumps. There's a lot more to say about that story. But you're not just talking about another person here. You're talking about Abraham. We're talking about this. Abraham is our spiritual godfather, according to Paul in Romans. He is our prime example. Other great believers before him and after, of equal stature. But Abraham did something that few people are willing to do. Christians. He left his hometown, affluent, on a promise from God that He would make of him a great nation, give him real estate and all these things under this Abrahamic covenant. And Abraham left Ur. He left his family, not his wife. He left his family. It was a transition. And he came to the land where he lived as a resident alien, not a full-fledged citizen, ever in his lifetime. He faced various tests, and he dealt with them. Again, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to know what is expected, and when you stumble, get back on track, get your head back on right, get in your right mind spiritually, and have confidence and faith before God that He will take care of you. There's health tests, of course. Health testing, I've had a little bit of it in my time. God brought me through it. And I had a very serious test, actually. But God delivered me 100%. And I can say on that test, not every test, but I can say on that test, I performed well before God. I had a relaxed mental attitude. It was in His hands. I pray about it and work my way through it. And He brought me out of it. Various dangers. Well, there's all kinds of things under that category. People in our area seem to be driving more crazy than they did before. I don't know. But there's lots of tests. Various dangers. There is the temptation of solicitation of your STA, sin nature. We all have one. We all possess one. There is a separate doctrine on this. And for those on the outside that may be listening, this, if you've never heard this, this is a real eye-opener. Our sin nature, one of the terms for it in the Bible is flesh, because it's hardwired in our cells, our DNA. When Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit, they got their DNA altered. They got a death or aging gene. And they got a sin nature. We call it the STA, the sinful trend of Adam, or the OSN, old sin nature. Now, you don't get rid of that. It's with you to the end. But through Bible doctrine, we'll show you how to be victorious over it. Your STA has trends, has a lust pattern. The big areas of lust, power lust, materialism lust, sex lust, approbation lust. We see it rampant in the world. And so temptation is from within and from without. Jesus is only tempted externally. But it says that things were flashed in front of Him during the course of His life on earth. All the kind of things that tempts human beings, solicits them to sin. So, just recognize that you have a sin nature. And the next time you sin, it's because your sin nature got the upper hand and for the moment is ruling the real you, which is the soul. When you rebound, you put the Holy Spirit back in charge, however long that or short that may be. So just keep naming your sins, recognize sin, acknowledge them wherever you are, wherever you're at, no matter how many times you do it. Yes, the Bible says don't do it, and we say that too, but we're realistic. There's not a righteous man that continually does good and does not sin. And that's why we study the profile of these believers in the Bible. We get great encouragement from these people and warning as we study the life of the believers that are recorded in the Bible. It's very edifying. They're real people in a real world. They're not some plastic saints running around with halos on their heads. Some of them you think are really great and are. They pulled some real stunts. Murder even. Adultery. And so forth. They took their divine discipline because they got discipline for it. God disciplines His children. Designed to bring us in line. See doctrine of divine discipline. And the basis for that. And God administers that according to the deed. Suffering cannot separate us from God's plan. I don't care what's out there. I don't care where this virus came from. I mean, I say I don't care. I'm just saying that however it came down, there's a lot of suspicious stuff, but I'm not going to get into that and speculate. It is a last days plague. In the last days, Jesus said, as the dispensation rolled forward to the day of the Lord, the rapture, that there would be birth pains. The analogy is to a pregnant woman who goes through her entire period and she comes and has these pains. And she gets closer to the delivery point, they become more intense. And these birth pains, and one of them is plagues. There are a lot of real scared people out there. Real frightened. You don't have to be. Set yourself free. And the thing you need to be concerned about, that deeply concerned about, is whether you are right with God and on top of things spiritually in a healthy local church where truth is taught verse by verse, book by book, doctrine by doctrine. Not some little, as someone used to say, a little sermonette for Christianettes. You know, I was there when I was young, and I finally got fed up with it. All this stuff languished in the Bible. Why can't we explain this? Tell people to go home and read their Bible, that's fine. But they need some guidance. They need some categorical doctrine in their thinking. A whole list of doctrines. God didn't set up the local church so we could dump it and run around and bounce all over the place and listen to multiple teachers. Jesus taught against that. Even if the teachers you were listening to were all on point, and they're not. You have a right pastor and right congregation. You need to pray about it. Get me where I need to be. If I need to leave Ur, I'm going to leave Ur. And I'm going to get where I... Some people need to maybe even relocate geographically to get in the... But you have to pray about that. If you're sincere and you're praying about it. And maybe this test, we would hope, this test is kind of waking some people up. Who have their head into sports and travel and all the usual stuff. Well, they're not talking about it now. It's largely shut down. And it's because these things will not cut it. Making $1 million won't cut it. Where am I? All this stuff. That's the mantra of Ecclesiastes regarding the human race at large. All is vanity and chasing after the wind. So what if you get $10 million and perish? Or even as a believer, wind up at the Bema seat under shame for the moment when you see the rewards handed out. And this is permanent. Everything down here is temporal, temporal, temporal. The rich man, he doesn't take it with him. And when he dies, he could care less about it. He's preoccupied with where he is. The story of the rich man who lifts up his eyes in hell. The other guy who, I'm going to build more barns. I'm going to have a bigger deal. You fool. Today, your soul is required of you. That's your most valuable possession. Your soul. Your living soul. That was what was saved when you believed in Christ. You got it out of the monster danger zone. Eternal wrath in the lake of fire. And all you had to do was one thing. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God forgave you of your sins and put you in His plan and constituted you a child of God forever and ever and ever. This life with its temporal sufferings. And I'm not trying to get up here just because this thing's going on. But we have to have a corporate thing where all of us are suffering together under this thing. And we'll all suffer in various degrees. Some of us may be more extreme than others. But God's going to work it for our good. God is advancing His plan. He allowed this to happen. The things you need to understand about God that I explained to a new person. God has a directive will. From His sovereignty and His righteousness and His veracity. He has a sovereign will. It is the same for everybody. It isn't found in all the different religions, Satan's counterfeits. It is found in the Bible where it is taught correctly. He has a directive will. That directive will includes, where does God want me to be? I call it geographical will. God told Abraham and he pulled up stakes. He didn't ask his other two brothers, who were believers, because they were bumps on a log. Ask Abraham. So you have the, where does God want me to be? The operational will, what does God want me to do? And the viewpoint will of God, What does God want me to think? Last night, mind of Christ. Then there's the permissive will of God. This bothers people. And it is even a test, was a test for Job and when he was under his test. The permissive will. All this evil and corruption that's going on, from the high to the low, all this mess. America has come to a point where it's not going to recover. We're in prophecy. Doctrine of the United States and prophecy. You need to know about this. The permissive will of God. Sometimes as a test, why has God let that person and all these people involve day in and day out this kind of evil? He's working this for too. They're going to deal with the end isn't going to be good for them. That's the permissive will. But for all of them, there's the overruling will. And all these people in those times before the flood, they all drown. Because they thumbed their nose at the preaching of Noah. And then it was too late. Don't let it be too late for you. Get yourself where you need to be spiritually so that you, when God calls you home, whether it is death or whether you live to the rapture, I'll review some of the particulars with regard to why we're so near to the rapture. Oh, I know. I know naysayers running all over. People have been saying that for blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know they have, but they didn't have their ducks in a row. Well, who do you think you are? Here you go again. You need to just listen to the data. I don't ask anybody to believe anything from this pulpit that I don't give ample documentation. And sometimes it takes a little bit to get your head around certain concepts. Maybe because of the baggage you're carrying. Because everybody comes in with some baggage when they come to the truth. You come out of the wrong kind of a religious background, Christian, and all this baggage. You have to identify each thing and kill all your sacred cows. Line yourself up with the truth. The truth is straight and the truth is narrow. It isn't the Broadway, and all roads lead to God's plan. No, He is not the author of confusion. So, Romans 8, 35 through 39. Paul poses this. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine? Believers have gone through famines. We might call them economic depressions, recessions, or nakedness. I don't think any of us has been reduced to that yet. Or peril, anything, or sword, times of war and crime and all of that business. So the answer is none of these things. Just as written, another observation, the Christian, the believer, is hated day in and day out by the dark side. And the dark side would kill us all if Satan could. So we are on his hit list. Just as written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. By who? Well, by Satan and his angels and humans out there that are deep into the deep things of Satan. We'll call it the Illuminati. You know what the Illuminati is called in your New Testament? It's in Thessalonians. It's called the mystery of lawlessness. Not just your everyday lawlessness, people running amok under their STAs out here. They want to overturn all of God's principles, turn it on their head. Marriage isn't just between a man and a woman now. Really. The attack on the divine institutions. For those of you listening, there's four of them. They're for the entire human race. The first one is volition, free will. He implanted that in the soul of every person. A person chooses for or against God's plan, makes decisions. Satan wants to enslave us all. Turn us into whatever. Volition. This is the order they came on online. Marriage. And last time I checked, it was between a man and a woman. And Yahweh, He administered the ceremony right there in the garden. No guests, because there wasn't anybody. And that's the pattern. Man, woman. Right man, right woman. Divine institution, number two, marriage. Anything less is mockery. They don't like that. And then the out product of that is family. Kids. Divine institution, number three. The family's under attack today with all this mess. And then the fourth one came later down the road. In fact, it came after the flood. Nationalism. So all these internationalists want a new world order and all this Illuminati stuff. But these institutions will survive. They will survive. Satan wants to overthrow that. So nationalism's under attack in a whole bunch of different ways. When Satan finally goes to hell, he will not be greeted by all those that they fell in line with him. And he will go to hell for the first time at the second advent. And when he goes down to hell, you can read whatever how they talk about. How have you come down here? You who weakened the nations. With all of these policies and plans in the souls of men who buy into this stuff and promote all of this. He promotes war. He likes war. That's why he's called the Red Dragon. All the lies that are out there, institutionalized and otherwise, science lies, religious lies, and all the rest of it, packaged all up and dignified by the university. He's the father and author of these. This information is brought down on people by him. They come under his influence and possession, and it's transmitted through humans. Some very evil people that are involved in this process. There's so much history involved here. But in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We're in the plan. We can't be separated from it. They can take my life. And Jesus said, then that's all you can do. That's as far as you can go. Don't fear those who can take your life, but fear him who can destroy both your soul and your body in hell. The last resurrection for the trillions of unbelievers. It's mind-boggling. This plan is mind-boggling. If you sit around and meditate on it, and it's been the history of Maranatha Church for 46 going on 47 years to get this information. And if just a few buy it, that's fine. God's going to reward them. I've lost many people through negative volition, walking away, caught up in stuff. They didn't stay the course. That's what we're supposed to do. Stay the course. Hang in there. See your way through this. And to the members of Maranatha Church, Brenda and I are doing fine. You need anything from any of us, we'll see what we can do. We just got into this, actually. But God's in control, Jesus Christ is the Lord of history. He has been given authority over all mankind. He's bringing his plan step by step to fulfillment. All the timing is perfect. He's setting up everything. We don't have to understand, well, why did he let this happen? How is this going to work into it? We'll figure that out down the road. See you next time. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity of hearing this information. May it bear fruit in positive volition everywhere in Christ's name. Amen.